Hey, good morning. This is Scott Mitchell. The radio program seems to be a little quiet this morning, so we thought we'd start early. So thanks to Sean for giving us the extra time. That's actually a joke. Hopefully he'll figure out what's going on. The computer program appears to be working, but there's no sound, whatever that means.
And, it's the sound of silence.
This is a program we call Scott. Well, it's not Scott Mitchell's. The program is called Let the Bible Speak, and we're glad that you are here. I was going to go through the list of ways you can access information we're going to share with you, and that's where the other stuff came from. If you are new to the program, we have, of course, there's an app on your smartphone. You can go to Listen to My Radio app and listen if the radio was on the air, and we're on, but the radio
we're
is
on,
not.
Right.
You'll also go to, if you're on Facebook Live, you know that, but this will be my wife, or somebody will post this later. You can watch this program later if you want to. Theron has set up a website called letthebiblespeak.faith, and all of our past shows are on there. You can go there and listen to all the things we've talked about in the past. And today's show has come from a question that somebody asked me a few weeks ago that I was going to do a sermon on it, but I thought that'd be a good prep for the sermon to go over.
Definitely.
Here on the program. And so the idea is of asking questions about the Trinity, which is not really a biblical term, but
exactly.
We'll talk about that as well.
Yep.
So anyway, Shannon Miller is here with me. I've known him for
a few years.
I want you to introduce yourself,
sure.
Kind of where you're from.
Okay.
And Crawford County people don't hold it against you, but kind of your background, how
sure.
You got where you are, that kind of thing.
Sure. Again, yeah. Shannon Miller. Originally born and raised in Cordon, Indiana area, grew up there, and I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
I was pretty faithful in going to the church. My mom's family is pretty devout Catholics. My grandparents still kind of go quite a bit. They're pretty devout in their worship and stuff, and we've had talks. A little bit on this subject as well that we'll be talking about today, but grew up in that and knowing the Catholics' way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. But probably in high school, I met someone that started studying the scriptures with them.
Okay.
And then I started diving into the Word. And that's one of the things that I never really got to do, is dive into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your radio program is about. It's here, is to study and to dive into it. And so, yeah, about high school, about my senior year in college, I started just digging into the Word and learning the truth.
Which is when I met you.
Exactly.
So
exactly. So
that was kind of cool watching that product. But yeah, of course, if you don't know, maybe most people watching probably do. I come from kind of a blank slate background. I had
exactly.
No religious affiliation whatsoever, and so it was different. It was different for me to come to know the complete truth than it was for you, and it was different for Theron.
Sure.
Matt may have been a lifer. I don't remember. You a lifer,
he's
Matt?
A lifer.
You're a lifer. Mm-hmm. So Matt had to grow up and just had to decide whether what he was being taught was true to begin with.
Yeah.
And so what I would challenge everybody to do, no matter where you are in your religious walk with God and trying to figure out the truth, is no matter what you've been taught, and this is what I've had to do in the last year and a half, and we're talking about this on the way in, is me trying to teach people what I think the truth is, I had to double back.
Yep.
And then think, okay, what have I been taught, and is it really what the Bible says?
Yep.
And all it's done is really solidify the foundation.
Yep.
And I'm more confident now than I've ever been that what I was taught is true.
Yep.
But I had to go back and find it for myself.
Exactly.
And I hope everybody will do that.
Yep.
Because when you're challenged,
mm-hmm.
every week,
yeah,
with whether it's right or not, and you know, with questions about the Bible and all that, you had better be able to stand on your own two feet.
Yeah.
And I haven't always been able to do that.
Sure.
I'm not saying I'm perfect in that, but as we go out and teach people, there are going to be challenges, and hopefully it will rock you a little bit and make you go back and double check.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be wrong.
Exactly, and I don't either.
And that's when if I'm wrong, I don't want to continue in that. We've got to be willing to accept that and be humble about it and change what needs to be changed.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this idea of the Trinity, and here's what I grew up. Mom's family and my dad's family were Pentecostal. But we didn't really wasn't around that much. But I remember somebody saying one time this idea of the Trinity came up, and it was like that was just kind of like foolishness that there there's no such thing.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's not a biblical term when you talk about, but this idea of the Godhead and three entities and one, there's like, there's just one, you know, and so, but when we do, is that what the scripture says? That's really, we have two questions that we need to, is the idea of the Godhead, or what we call the Trinity, is it three entities acting
as one
mind, basically, or is it one being appearing in three forms?
Sure.
That's kind of the discussion. Now, before we get into it too much, I texted Theron Hall, was at Dan Langford's house last night.
Okay.
So I said, hey, Theron, ask Dan what he teaches about the Trinity. And I'm gonna get the text up here because it's really quite good. If I've got it, okay. Here's what Dan said. If you can tell me how to teach a toddler the difference between a bagel and a donut, I'll tell you how to teach what the Trinity is. That was all the help I got from Dan. All right. Thank you, Dan, for your insight. I texted Simon Harris, who preaches in New York. I said, hey, Simon. Hey, I just kind of get an idea of what you teach about the Trinity. Yeah. I just wonder what you think. He texted me back. He said, well, I don't like them or St. X. So,
no help for either.
I got a lot of help from both of them. Simon did send me a sermon, though, after his little joke.
That's nice. That's awesome.
But he called it the Godhead, not the Trinity.
That's right.
And so let's talk about that. I know you wanted to talk about, so let's kind of, what is it you want to say? Before when we talked, you said, well, the Trinity is not really a biblical term.
It is not. And if you look in there, I mean, there's a lot of things that talk about the three and the separate parts, but there's no terms as what the Trinity is.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely the Trinity would say three, tray,
mm-hmm.
right? As being three separate entities, if mm-hmm. you will. And that's what the term really means, is three. And so there's never any talk about the three in here, or for Trinity anyways. Mm-hmm. And that's where I wanted to start, is, you know, it doesn't even talk about mm-hmm. the Trinity as a term. Yeah.
And that's it, because I did write down the idea where the word Trinity came from. And Trinity means three, and then unity means that one, and so that's where the word Trinity came from.
Yeah.
Or three is one, basically.
Yes.
Dan, here, I'll be honest, there's a good chance that I will never... There's a really good chance I'll never fully understand this.
Yep.
And there's probably even a better chance I might end up changing my mind in some aspects of what I think about this.
Yeah.
So it's one of those topics that really doesn't affect our salvation, and it's kind of cool to think about, but probably somewhat beyond our scope of fully understand, because God is so awesome. I don't know how this works, but we do see plenty in the Bible about it.
Yeah.
Kind of help us see it a little bit. What else do you want to say about that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because if you go to Romans 11 in verse 34, it says there, who among us can know the mind of the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it says it there, you know, and I went there, and it, to me, it really brought a lot of things. A lot of us don't know the mind of God. We got to leave it there, because we are human. We cannot grasp that.
Right.
Now, saying that, he has given us everything he wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
So with talking
we
about
have, the, we have part of the mind of God.
Exactly. But
like you said,
what he knows, we got to leave that there, as far as like exactly what he knows, and we can never comprehend. So I'm glad you brought that up, because we can never completely understand the mind of God.
I forgot to mention somebody.
Okay, go ahead.
Her name's Desiree. I know she gets a little nervous.
She does.
And there's a good chance she's not even going to watch this. But she is. Desiree, it's going to be okay. We're just sitting at the table talking.
Yeah, we're just studying
your
the
house.
Bible. Yeah.
It's just talking about the Bible.
That's
it's
right.
Really not, you know, again, don't know everything about this topic. This is, I texted Dan back last night, and I said, I think I'd rather talk about Calvinism. But... this idea of this, it scares people, but it really shouldn't, because it's not that we don't have to fully understand this.
Yeah.
And we never, I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
But we can understand it enough to where it's, you know, we kind of have a grasp, and I've got one verse I'm thinking of, I think is going to, it helps me kind of see it, but we'll wait and see what you've got. And
no,
then we'll see how it goes. So go ahead. I know you got lots of notes. So I'm going to sit back and try to just listen.
Okay.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Obviously, I like to, you know, what it means to be three, you know, all three. They all, to me, have distinct function. Mm-hmm. When I'm studying the scriptures, they all have distinct function. And so they all do different things, but obviously they function as one as well. Mm-hmm. So I like to maybe, I don't know what your notes were like, but like to maybe even like separate them out and then how they are unique together.
Sure.
As well.
That's fine.
Going over to John chapter 6 and 27, it says Jesus Christ referred to his Father as a God. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, we know for one that there is a God, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, in Genesis, we talked about that. We'll talk about it, probably Genesis as well. I've seen them in your notes. That if you go back there, he was in the beginning and there was God, mm-hmm. right? So we do know that there is a God, mm-hmm. for one. And that's, we can learn that throughout scriptures. There is a God. Mm-hmm. And so that's first, you know. And then there is the God, the Son. Mm-hmm. And we can see that in John 1:1.
Yes.
And he identifies that as God being, Jesus being with God in the beginning. And he actually calls him a God as well in John 1:1. So we know that Jesus is God as well. And then we come to the Holy Spirit. In Acts and in Romans, it identifies in the New Testament the Holy Scripture is one with God as well.
Yeah. So it's interesting because the things I kind of triggered on were the things that say that, you know, Jesus could only speak what he was commanded.
Exactly.
And the Spirit could only speak what he was commanded. So that one mind aspect of, and I also read that, I read two or three articles last night, and one of the people said that God was the planner, Jesus was the doer,
yeah.
and the Spirit was the teacher.
Yeah, I think I had those in
that aspect of that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there is a distinct difference, yet there's this oneness
yeah.
that exists. But it's the one mind of God.
Exactly.
That, and now, is that, and let me ask, just to kind of throw this out now, is it possible for us to be of that one mind?
I believe so.
Not, maybe not to the level
of them,
but no. Can we be of one mind and function as a group of Christians with one purpose,
yes.
with one why and one direction?
Yes.
And so
through this,
yeah. And so that's something we can kind of live this if we're in the Word and studying and really want to know who God is. So anyway, yeah. that's a different discussion, but
and
that's kind of interesting.
You know, I did a series about knowing God. Mm-hmm. And within knowing that, it's knowing who Jesus is, who God is, and who is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And three in one, they're there, mm-hmm. but it's knowing who they are yeah. as well and what kind of functions they have.
We had started a series on the show about the attributes of God, really
yeah.
knowing who God is, about love and vengeance,
yeah.
and you know all those. And we really haven't finished that.
Yeah.
The other Shannon
okay.
was on with me. Yeah. By the way, this is, if you've heard me talk about all the Shannons at Galena, this is the third Shannon.
Yeah.
That's Shannon Miller and then Shannon Jacob.
Who's the first Shannon?
And Shannon Scott. And the first Shannon was Shannon Michelle. She was there first.
Exactly.
Oh, well, there you go.
So she's number
so
one.
So you're number two. I'm number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm two, you're three, and Shannon Schaefer's four. Although he's the preacher. I guess he really technically is like number two now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a preacher.
Oh, is that right?
But,
I'm glad you brought that up because I have it in my notes too that, you know, that the Father creates the plan,
mm-hmm.
Jesus implements that plan, and then the Holy Spirit administrates
yeah.
that plan. So yes, they definitely have those three aspects mm-hmm. within each other.
Yeah.
But they act as one, which is so cool mm-hmm. to think about it because. Because we think about, you know, 1 + 1 + 1 is what? We teach our kids. There'd be three, right?
Which one times one times one?
One.
So that's kind of
exactly.
weird.
Exactly. But...
Is
you
it
know,
a product or is it a sum?
Exactly. And I think a lot
deep,
of people...
Deep thoughts.
Struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard for us to struggle that. And that's why I brought up, you know, that scripture in Romans
mm-hmm.
11. It tells us that, you know, that we can't comprehend some of those things
yeah.
that God can.
Yeah.
And so... And I think that's where we just need to dive into the mm-hmm. scriptures and just look.
And we can study this and merely not
grasp
it, but keep studying it and keep coming back to it. We talked about it on the way. Are our young people really getting into the Bible and studying, making it their own, and
yeah.
and really valuing the opportunity to know God?
Yeah.
And this is one of those things we can study this for hours and not really come to really understand it, but we can get the concept, and that's what we're trying to do today. is let the Bible speak to us, let's read it, see what it says, and if we don't fully understand this, that's okay. We just have to understand that something we're going to keep working on, and okay. that, and a lot of the Bible's that way for me. You may have it all down pat, but I don't. So
I don't think I have it all down pat. You know, there's always room to grow.
Yeah.
And you know, through this study, I've probably learned a lot. Have a lot of notes here.
Yeah.
Just about God being one. For one, and then the three different entities and how they function. So it was a good learning experience for me because mm-hmm. I've studied them before when I was actually becoming a Christian. One of the topics that I actually had to study, because Catholics actually believe in that Trinity aspect as well.
Okay,
and so I had a lot of questions with that. So it's good to come full circle, because it's been a while since mm-hmm. I've actually studied it.
Yeah.
So it was good for me. To come back to this and study it.
I don't know that I've ever really studied it.
Right.
I've, the way I've had the last week trying to get ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been good for me, too.
Okay.
Theron probably already knew it all.
Probably
did. He's highly cerebral.
What?
And,
huh?
What? Anyway, he's sleeping over there.
You can start going ahead with yours if you want, or I can just jump in.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm sure that what keeps coming to mind is these scenes where we see all three
mm-hmm.
at one time, and that's
I think it starts in the beginning.
It does.
It really started in the beginning, because in verse 26 and 27 it says.
By the way, he's in. If you're wondering, it's Genesis 1, 26.
Sorry.
By the way,
sorry.
I don't know.
Genesis 1 and verse 26.
Yep.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, mm-hmm. and let them have dominion over the flesh and the sea, and over
yep.
the birds and the heavens, and over livestock,
yep.
and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth." So it says, "Let us."
Yeah. And then what's the next verse say?
And the next verse says, "So God created man in our own image."
My text says, "His own image."
Okay.
Which is, it's like it's the plural and singular.
Exactly.
Does yours say our in 27 as well?
It says, "So God created man in his own image."
Yeah,
it's his.
Plural and singular
at the same time.
Which, again, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But obviously, he says us there. But again,
yes.
If they're all thinking as one, who's the source of them? Who's the source? It's God's image.
Well,
that they all are taken on.
Yes.
And so it's kind of interesting in that respect. So,
it's one of those things that is it God, is it Jesus, or mm-hmm. is it the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And you would say yes.
Yeah.
To all of them.
By the way, if you have a question, let me rephrase that. If you have a question that you're willing to ask.
Yeah.
Or if you have a comment you want to make, Theron has the screen up over there. You can go to Facebook Live and post questions there. Or you could call the station at 812-365-9864. Or my cell phone is 812-620-4034. You can access us through all those things. Or if you have questions later, you can post those to Facebook, and I'll send those to John Bingham or Dan Langford, let him handle those. But
Simon Harris,
yeah,
right.
Since they've got all this vast knowledge, and it's very helpful. So we got the Genesis verses here that talks about us, God making an our image.
Sure.
All right, so there's obviously a plurality there. What else you got, bud?
So, if you keep going, you obviously have John, if you want to go there. And then John actually indicates about Jesus being there as well in John chapter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1. I think, probably some of our notes will, on top of each other. But
I would think they would be.
Yeah.
So John 1:1.
Yeah, you can go ahead and read that. I'm not there yet.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm. And if you keep reading it, obviously we're referring to Jesus in this, mm-hmm. in this here. But yeah, he was there in the beginning with him, knowing that Jesus, and that's when we get back to Genesis, when it talks about us,
mm-hmm.
It even talks,
verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yeah.
And I have to look the verse up. I should have. I didn't think about it. There are a verse that talks about Jesus being the sustainer.
Yeah.
That holds everything together. He's the creator, the sustainer.
Yeah.
And all, that concept, is he involved? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's maybe we can find that verse, and maybe I can find it now. But go ahead, Chan, you're doing great.
I'm sure a lot of people will probably have this question too, just speaking about Jesus. And while we're here talking about Jesus, he does pray to his Father throughout mm-hmm. scriptures. And so, you know, there is that authority figure that he is talking to. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people would ask, you know, if he is God, then why is he talking to his Father?
That's Colossians 1:17, by the way. I didn't have it in my notes, but that's the one that talks about him being the sustainer. That holds everything together. So anyway. Yeah.
But that's where we get back to God is creating that plan. He created this plan for us. And Jesus is that person that implemented that plan. Yeah. He came in here to show us how to do it. And then the Holy Spirit was left here for us to ministrate out that plan. We can see that throughout the scriptures.
There's one thing I think is really important that people get from this concept of there being one mind.
Yeah.
And because you can go to John 12:49 and John 5:19 that talks about Jesus can only speak what the Father said. Go to John 16:13, it talks about the Spirit could only speak what he was commanded to speak. One thing we cannot ever do, mm-hmm. and we have to understand this, is the Spirit is never going to come to you and tell you to do one thing mm-mm. and tell me to do something else.
No.
That is not going to happen.
Yep.
The Word is never going to guide you to believe one thing and me to believe something else.
No.
There is one mind at work here.
And God
cannot go against what he's already said. Jesus cannot go against what God has said.
Exactly.
And the Spirit is never going to do that either. So we can't come to this and say, well, now that's what you believe is fine.
Yeah.
And you know, you believe that, and I'll believe what I believe because that's what the Spirit's leading me to do. That doesn't happen.
No.
Ephesians 4 is very clear.
Yep.
There is one truth, and there is one faith.
Exactly.
And that comes from that one mind of God. I wanted to, that concept of the Spirit leading us different ways, and there all these roads lead to heaven, and it's all, that's not biblical.
But it's not taught there.
So anyway, that's the one thing I wanted
to bring up. And Ephesians, like you've brought up mm-hmm. before, really talks about that. Now, you don't have to read it, but you can.
Yeah.
But it definitely talks about that oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And if that scripture, you know, is saying is wrong, mm-hmm. then everything else is wrong too.
Yep.
In scripture. But it's not. It's talking about the oneness within God.
So since we mentioned it, I don't want to not let the Bible speak. We've mm-hmm. got to do that. Ephesians 4, beginning in I'll start in verse 3. It says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That unity that Jesus talks about so much is really important here.
Yep.
But in verse 4 it says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. By grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so there is one purpose, there is one reason, there is one end goal that everybody's working for.
Yeah.
The Spirit, Jesus, and God, and that is to get people into heaven. That's their motive.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus came. And that needs to be our motive as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I interrupted you.
No, you're good. I mean, in 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about, you know, as well, it's the second half of 8:4. It says, in the second half of that, it says, we are no worse off if we do not know. Sorry. 8:4.
1 Corinthians 8?
Yeah, 4. It says, there's no God but one.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Jesus. But being the three, but there is no God but one God. We're talking about here, and obviously he's talking about food to idols in this mm-hmm. section. But knowing that we know that there is only one. And throughout Scripture, he's talking about oneness, one God, and not many gods. And I know in the Old Testament they had trouble with that. In the Old Testament, many gods.
Oh, maybe like 400 or so.
But we know that there's only one.
Yeah.
But they have deceived. Functions. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, you can start going with yours. I did talk several of mine. I kind of like just jumped around a little bit.
Okay.
But I covered a lot far as what I have. And I think, like I said, we've just been talking about a lot.
We don't have time to do. I kind of did it on the radio before, this concept of how the Spirit works.
Yep.
And those kind of things. Really have to go back to the Old Testament to see
yes.
that and
yeah.
how the Spirit, when they built the temple, that the Spirit of God was there and the
yeah.
presence was there. And follow that through. When they came back from captivity, they rebuilt this temple, but something, it was really anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit never came and filled the temple.
Yeah.
And then you go to Malachi 80 years later, they're still waiting.
Yeah.
And then that gets us to John 16:7, where Jesus says, look, I have to go or the helper can't come.
Yeah.
And so, and that's where, that when we look at that, what's the significance of Jesus saying that?
Yeah.
If they're the same, if Jesus and the Spirit are the same, if Jesus is there, isn't the Spirit there?
Yeah.
And he can't come until yeah. what was the problem that kept the Spirit from coming? What was why did the Spirit leave the Old Testament? Why did he leave the temple in the Old Testament? Well, they lost the relationship with God. You can
yeah.
go to Samuel. I think it's 8, and I have my note. I think it's Samuel 8:3-11. There's an image of the Spirit moving through
from
the temple as he's moving out.
Yeah.
And then he leaves the threshold and goes to the mountain, and that's an image of the Spirit.
Forgot leaving. All
but
about
why,
this.
But why did he leave?
Yeah.
Because of the sin problem, their relationship.
Yeah.
They severed their relationship with
God. Yeah.
And so...
I'm glad you brought that. I didn't even really study that.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
But then you get into the New Testament and see all these really images of the temple.
Yeah.
What is the temple now?
God.
It's in Revelation ends up being God, but for us right now, it's us.
Yeah.
We're the temple. And so what does this... When the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit filled the temple, what does he fill today?
He fills us.
And so that idea is really cool. We don't have time to get into it a lot, but it's a really cool study. But in John 16:7, this is what he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away.
Yeah.
For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I send him to you. And that he's going to lead them into all truth and all those things. He's talking to the apostles here about all the cool things the Spirit's going to do for them once Jesus dealt with the problem, the sin problem, to make the relationship with God right. And which is another lesson, but it's one that feeds into that. You know, God's not allowing certain things to happen because the relationship's not right. Jesus had to do his part.
Yep.
So then the Holy Spirit could come do his part.
Yep.
Which shows them as separate things. Again, what are they acting as?
One.
One purpose.
Yep.
One reason.
Yep.
And that is to get people to God.
Yep.
And it's really, I didn't mean to get into all that, but it's
no,
really
I'm glad
cool.
you brought it in. It's
but,
cool. I really didn't study that aspect of it, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because, from the beginning, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really talk about it in the beginning with the Holy Spirit, and he was definitely there with us in the whole thing.
So what that idea then? We go to Luke 3.
Okay. I was gonna. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, though.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
And this is also, you got Luke 3, John 1, Matthew 3, mm-hmm. all record this kind of idea. Let's see. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptized. And John was baptizing near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and the people were coming and being baptized. Let me find what I'm supposed to. I'm trying to find what
keep
I'm
going
here.
So we see that here is John when he's coming to baptize. So he's coming out of the wilderness at this point, and he's coming, and then there's Jesus coming.
Yeah.
In this point, and then he does baptize Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's
all true, but that's not what I was wanting to
okay.
look at.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I just read John, not
Luke.
I was not in.
I wonder what verse you were in.
I was trying to find it. Said something, Scott. You nim nod. Let's see. So it's in Luke 3. It's in 21. It says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with You, I am well pleased." And what do we see there?
You see all three.
All three.
And so you see Jesus obviously being on the earth, and then you see the spirit like a dove for one, and then you have the voice of God saying, you know, this is my son, yeah, who I'm well pleased with. Yeah. So you see the three there.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, especially, you know, at this time where, you know, Jesus is showing us what needs to be done, mm-hmm, and he's showing us that we need to be baptized, but he's showing this example, but also he's seeing that all three is present within yeah, the scripture here, which is very cool.
So now we got to go back and look at this idea of what in Psalm 45. This is kind of interesting.
And you got all the scriptures that I have.
So. It's kind of interesting, yeah, that we see God talking to God, yeah, and kind of concept. And in Psalm 45, 6, and 7, it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." So, is God talking to God? Or is that an aspect of God, like the Spirit and Jesus? I sit around and talk to myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, some, and I got nothing else to do. I just don't see God operating that way.
Yeah.
Also, Psalm 110. And we'll go there and look at that, and we'll talk about what these are talking about. Psalm 110, 1 and 2. Said, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies." So obviously God is not talking to God. So we got to see
He's
that.
Talking to someone.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, we got to dig into.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's someone that God considers to be God.
Within him. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting. Again, it's one of those things maybe my finite human mind can't ever grasp,
yeah,
exactly what's going on here. But, again, it's not something that, to the best of our ability, it's not attainable for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the verse I keep thinking about when I think about the one verse that it draws a picture of who we're supposed to be. Are you looking for your...
Yeah.
Oh.
She's here somewhere.
We've lost Priscilla. She'll be here somewhere. Galatians 2:20.
Yeah, I love that verse.
It just says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me. I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me." So that idea of Jesus living in me. So can I learn to act like Jesus?
Yes.
Can I learn to think like Jesus?
Yes.
And you know, then you go back in these verses, it talks about that God will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen? When we start asking for things that God wants us to ask for.
Yep.
So we start thinking like God. So is this possible for us?
Yes.
Yes.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on BRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
And the snowflakes were so light and fluffy today. It is beautiful today down here, folks.
It is.
And I appreciate that.
So is that like a little break there?
Yeah, we have to do that station thing at 10 o'clock. It's against the law not to.
Okay. All right, I didn't know that.
And Matt, and all his manliness, by the way, folks. It's an Indian, right? What kind of bike you have?
Indian Roadmaster.
Our Indian Roadmaster. How long you had this one?
About a month.
He's had it about a month. Rode that thing over here from Louisville today.
Oh.
Of course, it has heated handles and seats, right?
Yeah.
What about, does it have a little heated seat cover or foot covers for you, for your feet, too?
That's got water fans that block the wind, and got big air pump of each wind.
Listen to that. Sounds exciting. Anyway, he rode that thing from Louisville. He has to ride it back.
I was kind of cold in the truck that you were covered in.
But that's Matt.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, appreciate you for being here, Matt, with us. So this idea of God talking to God, let's go over to Hebrews, Hebrews 1.
Another great scripture here.
And this references basically... reference the Father speaking to the Son.
It does, yeah.
Hebrews 1, 8 and 9.
I'll get there.
Says, you go ahead and read 8 and 9. You can do it.
Hebrews 1, 8 and 9 says, mm-hmm. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of the uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions.
So how does God refer to Jesus in this verse? As who?
As God.
As God. So yeah. This is God talking to Jesus, calling him God. Why he's able to do that?
Because he is God.
His everything about him is about God.
Yeah.
Everything is. Now, I can't attain to that.
Yeah.
But I can learn to think like God.
Yes.
I can do that.
Yes.
And I can learn to ask for the things that God... I mean, when we go through things like that, there's got to be some kind of a lesson for us. Otherwise, we leave it... And I think the lesson is, for us, all four of us in this room, and anybody claiming to be a Christian, we ought to be able to come to the same mindset about who God is and what he wants from us and what we should be doing. Yeah. I mean, God's Word tells us how to get in the church, how to behave when we're in the church, how to stay in the church, and how to get in heaven. It tells us all those things.
Yeah.
All of us.
It tells us everything that we need to know, yeah, how to live our life.
Yeah.
And so that, even coming back to this, you know, 3-in-1, I mean, yeah, we can be with them as well, yeah, through faith that, yeah, we know him. Yeah.
And so. I think that's why we kind of have this, and we probably don't have, we may have time. In 1 Corinthians, actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go over there real quick. And again, it's one of those things, what can we learn from this kind of concept? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, people take verse 10, and again, I've talked about this before, and Paul Earnhardt kind of helped me see past this idea of on Judgment Day, there's going to be somebody there with a clipboard or something like that, and there's going to be a list on it. As each of us approach, this special page is going to appear with our names on it, and all the things we've done on what good things on this side and bad things on this side. And there's going to be like this check mark. Well, that, okay, you did this. And as long as the good list is longer than the bad list.
It's a long list.
You know, hey, we're in.
Yeah.
Kind of concept. What it says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay. Interesting concept, but we got to stay in the same chapter. Let's jump over to verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's start in verse 10. Would you read verses 18 and 19?
Sure. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in the Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation.
So that verse says it didn't hold our trespasses against us.
No.
So this idea that here, do we have to worry about that day if we aren't trying to please God? Yes, we do. However, here's the image, and I've talked about this before. I think what's going to happen is God's going to look at each one of us, and if he sees Jesus,
that
we're in.
We should be that image of him.
Exactly. That verse in Galatians 2, that's really important. If Christ is really living in us, our intent is going to be to please God, which is the only intent Jesus had, was to please God.
Yeah.
If that is our mindset, what we learn from this is that we can look like Jesus, and on Judgment Day, even somebody that looks like me,
yeah,
God is going to look at them and say, you know what? I see Jesus. You're in.
Yeah.
That's the significance, I think, for us to get from this, is we can have the mind of God. We have the mind of God.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's, you know, so when we see God talking to Jesus and calling him God, well, how does he do that? That's because he's taken all the attributes of God and made them his own.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't always, but that idea of Jesus, everything about Jesus was God.
Yep.
Well, can everything about me be Jesus?
Exactly, yes.
It should be.
Yep.
But that's what we're working for.
And that's a really cool image that we see if you're standing in front, and you could be that image of Jesus Christ. Because we love Jesus. We want to be just like Jesus. And that's what we talk about, being more like Jesus each and every day. And that's a good, really, image. I really never thought about that image before, if God can see us like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a humbling thought to think of that, but that's what the reason he died for us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So here's, I'm going to read this little thing from Simon's notes.
Okay.
Of course, you know, he's a New Yorker now, so he thinks differently. But he actually wrote this when he was in Jonesboro, Arkansas. So
okay.
He was a Southerner, which is even more different. Says the only way to explain this seemingly contradiction is that one being called God, Yahweh or Jehovah, is made up of different parts, personalities, or persons. This is a hard concept to understand because it is uniquely God. There is nothing else in our universe that is like him in this respect that helps us comprehend his nature as one but separate. Mm-hmm. So it may be hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact. For us to think exactly like God, to know what God knows, we just can't do that.
Yeah. And that's where I get back to Romans 11. Yeah. I mean, some things we just don't, we cannot comprehend from Him. But at the same time, we have this.
Yeah.
And like what Simon was saying is true, that there are things that we can know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Scriptures really tell us that as well.
And you know, one of the books I wanted to get to at Bethel was the book of John.
Yeah.
Because of the Gospels, I think it draws a picture for us, an image of Jesus that the other Gospels don't, that wasn't their purpose. What we see in the book of John is this really cool image of who Jesus was. I mean, he tells the religious leaders, you know, we all think of Jesus as, and God, one of the attributes of God is love. Well, he forgives everybody. Well, yeah, if everybody wants to see Jesus as this big ball of love as well, what does that mean when he looks at the religious leaders and says, you know, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins?
Yeah.
That's not what people want to think about Jesus, because that's who Jesus is.
Yeah.
He's this like God. He's going to tell you what you need to know, and you can take it and do what you want to with it.
Yeah.
But when you look at John 14, 16, and 17, this is Jesus spoke of the Father and the Spirit as separate persons. John 14, 16, and 17 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Yeah.
So when we're, you know, and when we're baptized into the Spirit. This idea of an immersion.
Yeah.
When you think about what the Holy Spirit did in the temple, he completely filled that thing.
Yep.
You got a note over there? Simon, I am forever a Kentuckian. So he's somewhere in the middle. He's not a Southerner or a Northerner. He's a Kentuckian. That's cool. But anyway.
Getting back to that.
Yeah.
He talks about that when he talked about the Great Commission, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he does say that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Mm-hmm. Go there baptizing in the Father, disciples in all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit. So getting back to your point that in John there, that they're all three there as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's the point why we baptize people in. We baptize them all, in all three.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and again, I keep going back to the book of John because it's just full of these images for us.
Yeah.
In John 14:9 and 14:7, he basically says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We'll go look at those. But these people are saying, Thomas said to him, Lord, and this is verse 5 of 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him, and you do know him, and have seen him. So if they've seen Jesus, they've seen God. So what, and this idea of, what? And I can't remember exactly, but Theron may know how, this idea that sometimes we're the only sermon that people hear. You know, they see our lives, and that's the only sermon they ever really hear.
Yeah.
What are we showing them?
We should be showing them God.
They should see God in us.
Yeah.
And so that same concept is, you know, again, we can't attain to that mind, but we should be able to try to be really what, if we're all trying to be what God wants us to be, they're going to see God in their lives.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's that concept is there. So in John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And so it's kind of interesting that even, you know, Jesus is talking about God as a separate entity.
Yeah.
And yet functioning with the same mind, same purpose, again, same direction. It's really cool.
We're hearing the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, just one mm-hmm. chapter over. Two chapters over, talking about the Holy Spirit, and then obviously I think we read this about Jesus being one with God.
Mm-hmm.
This is from 7 through 11. It talks about Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well.
Yeah,
and I can read that.
Would you go ahead? Is it John 15? You said
John 16.
John 16,
starting in verse 7.
Go ahead, Bob.
Nevertheless, when we can start going up in verse 5, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going with you who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning the sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin. Because they did not believe in me concerning the righteousness. Because I go to the Father, and ye will see me no longer concerning the judgment. Because of the rulers of the world is judged. Yep. So we see here again, Jesus talking about the Spirit, but then he's referring to his Father as well. So definitely talking about the oneness here in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But he's telling us what the Holy Spirit is here for. He is here for us to help and convict the world of sin.
Yeah.
And to show us the difference between the truth and of sin.
The whole purpose of John's Gospel is to show the deity of Jesus. That's Jeff Farmer.
Okay.
Who somehow keeps avoiding coming on here.
Oh, man.
We're going to work on that. He's always camping or preaching somewhere. Yeah. You know,
He does work a lot.
I don't know if he's camping this weekend or not, but we'll maybe
get him. Well, he's watching that.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeff, thanks for being on here, bud. I love you. Yeah. And thanks for your input. And it is. The book of John is just beautiful.
It's filled.
It's a lot of good imagery, and a lot of good, it's
obviously the truth, but I think it speaks to us a little bit. You know, it speaks to, I don't know, our language a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really easy for us to understand.
Yeah.
John does.
We're going to stay in John.
Okay.
John 10 and verse 30. It says, I and the Father are one, and also 37 and 38. Mm-hmm. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father.
Okay.
And that I...
And that's in John chapter 10,
that's
right?
John 10, 30, and verses 30 and then 37 and 38. So Jesus, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me.
Me.
Okay. In terms of God's Word, if we're in the Word, where does the Word end up? In us, right? And that same kind, we can have the mind of God to the very best of our ability.
Yeah.
And try our very best to serve Him with our lives and be that image and to reflect Jesus' light. And
I think you've hit on this.
See that.
I think you've hit on this. Can they act separate?
Can they act separate?
Yeah. Can they do anything on their own?
No. I mean, they act separate. They do things separately, but they have one purpose and one mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The thing.
That's what we're getting down to.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
you tried to trick me.
I did.
You tried to trick me.
But I think the world would do the same thing.
Tried to trick me? Or
no. That's what the world tries to do in general. Is like, if they have the problem with this this verse, it's acting separately. But are they different beings, if you will? Do they do their own thing? Do they have their own mind? And it's not that way as we look in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. They're acting as one.
So now, as we look at this, do we understand that the comment from Dan is that if you can show me how to teach a toddler the difference between a donut and a bagel?
I want him to explain that because I'm still kind of.
Theron says that an explanation he's going to tell me after the show for
okay.
that. But
right.
That idea of there's similarities. But there are differences.
There is. Yeah.
Theron?
If you'll explain the hair on air, I'll explain the bagel and the donut story on air.
The hair?
The hair.
Oh! Okay.
Is this a different subject?
You mean the comment on Facebook from Cordell?
It's a dare. I'm daring you to.
Cordell is a special human being who he likes certain kinds of hair. All right? And he likes to touch hair that he thinks looks cool. And so that's what that is. Bob McPherson, who is Dave McPherson's brother, is one of those other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when Cordell walks up to Bob, he says, the first thing he says is, don't touch my hair. And then they go on with their conversation. So just that's what that...
You're going to make me say it now.
Now you got to tell me.
I thought for sure you wouldn't
donut.
Say it. That's the only reason I said that is I thought for sure you wouldn't actually say it. Okay. So the story is very simple.
his son came to him and said, "Hey, I want to eat that donut that's in the fridge," when he was a toddler. And he said, "Oh, son, that's not a donut, that's a bagel." Then he proceeded to try to explain to him the difference between a donut and a bagel, which turns out to be very difficult. That's the story. That's it.
Okay.
So there you go.
A life lesson. That's it.
It wasn't even that exciting. Yeah. I'm not even sure why he texted that back. That was funny.
Well, because it's difficult.
Yeah.
Is why.
Well, maybe. Right.
A little ambiguous, we'll say. So.
Well, and what can the toddler understand that you as an adult can understand? And what does God understand and communicate to us in a way that our finite minds can understand?
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because here was Simon's goal when he preached this lesson. It's interesting. This is what he put in his notes there. He says, "This morning I would like to try to explain to you what is, in my opinion, one of the hardest concepts in the Bible to truly understand, and I would like to do it in a way that even the children can understand." All right? So that's, if we can get things down at a level that children can understand them, we ought to be able to get some kind of a grasp. There was Dan sent me a picture yesterday that I don't know, it's on my phone, but I don't know they'll do any good to try to show it. But it's a really cool image of this line that goes in these three directions that keeps looping back on itself, showing that there are three parts, but they're all one. He said that, and he said that was the best image he could find that helped him understand this idea of the Trinity. It's really neat. But
one of the things that, I mean, this is just for our human minds, but somebody told me once, it's like the sun, like our actual sun.
Okay.
The sun gives off radiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gives off light.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives off heat.
Yeah.
But it's still the sun, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I
actually read that last night.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I studied this. I don't know what. I just remember that from this day. And that's where my concept for a human mind can think of. Because the sun still acts as a sun, right? Yeah. But it has different, functions.
Object lessons we teach our kids that really helps.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting. So what about this mediator thing? And we haven't really talked about much about that.
About that.
Jesus as the mediator. What does that mean?
He
what's a mediator? Do anybody know the definition? I didn't look up the definition.
I didn't.
It's like a go-between.
It's a go-between.
Pretty much.
So a mediator, I know when, with teachers, when you go into arbitration, you got to have a mediator, between the union and whatever, to kind of help them come to an agreement. Jesus is a mediator between us and who?
Between us and God.
Okay, if he is only God, then can he really be the mediator between us and God? I mean, he can function as God and still be a mediator between us and God. Which goes back, why was it so important for Jesus to come
because
to this earth the way he did?
Because he experienced both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing is like he experienced everything that we're going to experience coming to this world, but also he understands that as well of God.
And he was tempted as we're in all aspects as we're tempted. So that makes him able to mediate.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I understand what these people are going through.
Yeah.
That I did this lesson at Christmas time at El Bethel. People always they focus so much on the birth of Jesus. Well, is it important? Boy, yeah, it's important. What about his life after his birth? Was that important? Yeah.
No.
What about his ministry and all that? Yeah. What about him on the cross? Yeah. Yep. What about the resurrection? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it was all essential. It is not. It's not like he couldn't have done what he needed to do without all aspects of his life.
Yeah.
But was he separate from God when he was doing that? In some aspects, yes, he was.
Yes.
What about on the cross?
He was alone.
When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was he by himself or was he not by himself? That's kind of
hard. That's hard for us to grasp.
But what cannot God be in the presence of?
Sin.
Sin. Jesus became all sin for all mankind on that cross.
Alone.
He had to be separated from God to do that. That's kind of, it had to be. The Theron's going, but he had to be. If Jesus became sin, which he did, he couldn't be in the presence of God. So he had to do that. And so that begs the question, when he's about warfare praying in the garden, what was he praying about? Was he praying to avoid the cross, or was he praying to avoid the aloneness for the first time ever.
Aloneness, the pain, all that.
So there's lots of things that, you know, feed and this generates questions, but it's really that's what's cool about a kitchen table conversation. You get into a lot of stuff, but and bring up to maybe things for a later show.
I guess you're talking about the mediator, talking in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where it says there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, which is the testimony given to the at the proper time.
Yep.
So that's what you're referring to as the mediator.
Yeah. And so that's interesting when you think about that concept and this aspect of this.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's not impossible.
Yeah. So. But that was God the Son's role in this, that he is that example for us, that mediator between to show us humans what God can do on the earth.
Yeah.
And he can live a sinful life, or not sin, on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get to that point too. Can we ever live sinless? No. Because we all fall short of that glory. But we can get to that. We can try and do our best to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. So through that, you know, through that cross, he brought peace between us and God. And that, you know, through his death, that's the reconciliation we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Yeah.
Is that through his life, he reconciled the relationship between us and God. And so now we can come to God and he'll hear us, and we can go to him in confidence. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. But it should make us want to be more like Jesus and become that one mind and function as much as we can as God wants us to function here.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just a cool... The motivation we should have from all this to understand what it is we're supposed to really be.
Yeah.
It's not about my teaching career.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about my coaching. It's not about the truck I drive. It's not about the yards I mow. It's not about any of those things. It's about me doing everything I can to be what God wants me to be in all aspects of my life.
Yeah.
And for some reason, wait, Thane, you got something?
Okay.
For some reason, people want to kind of pigeonhole their lives, and that, you know, while I'm here, teaching, you know, I don't have to worry too much about God. Maybe if I'm on my mower mowing, that's a separate part. But when I'm at church, I got to do these things. But then when I leave church, then I go back to watch my football game and get act this way. You know, that's not how God wants us to function. We're one thing all of the time.
Exactly. And that's the way that Jesus functioned.
Yes.
He was oneness with God at all times. As far as what he taught and everything, he had that mind of God.
Yeah.
And we should have that same thing. Mm-hmm. We should never have the mind of Scott or the mind of Shannon.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We should have the mind of this.
I don't want my mind.
I don't either. And that was God's plan.
Dude, we're down to like 7 minutes.
Oh, man.
And we started 5 minutes early, so we could technically quit early.
Okay, but...
We've got some other stuff here. But, anyway...
You want to continue about the Son, or you want to talk about the Holy Spirit?
Well, I thought we'd get into the Holy Spirit a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
With our last few minutes.
Yes.
Why don't you go to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
This talks about the prophets spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
2 Peter chapter 1.
Verses 20 and 21.
Okay, 20 and 21 says, knowing that the first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about the Bible, I don't know how long it was that I was a Christian before I got the concept. I don't know who even said it. It may have been Simon. Of course, you know, I don't know. But the Bible is one story.
Yep. It's
one story about the redemption of mankind. And I think for a long time, I kind of had those stories kind of back in a separate... Well, what spirit led the prophets to speak?
Holy Spirit.
What spirit led the apostles to speak?
Holy Spirit.
The same spirit? Same spirit? And so it's one... Again, that's the one mind, the achieving the one purpose that was to get us to God.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and they all three all been here one. The whole time.
Yeah.
So it's the same one. It's the same one.
And so that's interesting. So the same spirit that spoke to Jeremiah is the one that fills me when I obey God.
Amen.
And that's cool. And so that's kind of interesting. But anyway, Go. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 2?
1 Corinthians.
Let me get over there too.
1 Corinthians chapter 2,
verses 7 through 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 mm-hmm. through 10. Okay. But we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed from before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imaged, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit reaches everything, in even the depths of God.
So, he revealed the deep things of God to man.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some things, again, that I'm never going to really grasp.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, you know, I'm not like some people. My wife's really, really smart. She remembers things really, really well.
So does my wife.
I'm not like that.
Yeah.
But I can understand what God has told me.
Yeah.
I can grasp what God, you know, God has told us what he wants us to know. In verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Mm-hmm. He came to instruct us and help us understand what God intends for us, and what is our reason, why are we here? Which is everybody's asking.
Yeah.
They just don't know where to find the answer to that, and that's our job, to be out there saying, you know what, this changed my life, it can change yours.
Yeah.
And I think about the last year and a half of my life and what I've been doing. This book has completely changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can change everybody else's if they'll let it.
Yeah.
If we go back to, and Theron and John and I have talked, and probably little Danny, we have all talked about this. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Dan, if you're watching. If you go back 2 years and you would have told me, hey, Scott, you know, in the next year and a half, you're going to be preaching to a congregation that is El Bethel Baptist Church. You're going to spend a year and a half teaching those people,
yeah.
And you're going to have in the meantime, you're going to start a radio program, and you're going to talk about the Bible on the radio,
mm-hmm.
Dude. I would have just
and Facebook Live
and be on Facebook Live, yeah. And have actually, you know, when I went door knocking with Gary Fisher years ago before he left New Salisbury,
yeah.
And we blanketed Milltown, went over Milltown knocking on doors. We got back to the car, and he said, Scott, you've marked yourself. I said,
what do you mean, Ray?
What have I done? And it finally sunk in what he was saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Those people in that community that see me coaching ball games and teaching these kids, they see me differently now.
They do.
This book has changed everything about what I thought life was.
Mm-hmm.
And studying things like this help us understand what God wants for us, and that unity that Jesus talks about, and that one purpose. Why are we really here?
To serve him.
Is it for me to have an undefeated basketball season?
No.
No. Now, that's fun.
It is.
Don't get me wrong. You had one of those.
Yes, I did.
As a player, I did it as a coach, which is, you know, anyway, I never was that good a player. But that wasn't my purpose. Yeah. My purpose was whatever I was doing to present Jesus as whatever I'm doing. That's what, wherever I am,
yeah.
Is to portray Jesus in my life.
Exactly.
That oneness, that one purpose, that one reason. So hopefully that's made this, just muddied it up even more. Probably.
It probably did.
No, it's all good. But it's a cool discussion.
But it's awesome to think about that someone like me, and I think of myself as, you know, the mind that I have, that I can grasp this.
It causes all the doubt. No, not at all.
But it is.
Like, oh, Shannon got it?
I think that's the first time.
Exactly.
Five. That was perfect.
But it is, you know, I just, you know, someone that, you know, I feel like I don't mm-hmm. have, you know, the knowledge sometimes yeah. of different things, but I could still dig into this and yeah. get this, and this is all that matters.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday at school about some things, you know, and sometimes you look at people and you wonder why they keep trying to do what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be, you know, there are some people you've been teaching for 30 years and you see kids and you see grandkids, and you're thinking, you know, at some point, these people should just stop and say, you know, I'm not very good at being a parent. I should stop. But they don't. Okay? They just keep on trying. If I was a brain surgeon and I'd killed like three people in a row, I may stop and think, you know what? Maybe I'm not cut out for this.
Exactly.
Maybe I should stop doing it. But, you know, we're all cut out to do what we're doing right now.
We're all cut out to learn this.
This is the one thing we can all do.
Exactly.
And we can all do it the way God wants us to do it.
We can have it all in common.
That's cool.
Yep.
And I appreciate that very much about this. Now, we're done. We have to be done because we're out of time. But it doesn't matter because the radio program wasn't up anyway. We can go as long as we want.
I think we may have corrected that.
Got it? Okay.
I should say Matt.
Matt's the man. Matt got it. Okay. So. We'll have to have Sean send him a support check for helping.
Or a thank you note.
And Sean will do that. He's not the money, but he's very thankful. Very grateful to have us in here. How would you like to close this thing out? What would you like to say?
I appreciate you being on here. This concept of the Trinity, it is something we need to still study. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we continue just throwing on the wayside. Mm-hmm. It is a hard concept, but we can dive into it, mm-hmm. and we can study, just like we here at the table, any table that we can all dive into and study. And it's a great thing we can do.
And so we just need to let the Bible do what the Bible does.
Let it speak.
Now, Farron, as you close, are you going to close us out with your normal, this is how you get all that stuff?
I actually got a little bonus. Why don't you guys go ahead and close out.
Okay.
And you know, mention the website, mention Facebook Live, anything else you'd like to plug, and I've got just a little short snippet.
All right.
It's more for WBRO, actually,
okay.
than anything else.
Well, again, Facebook Live, if you're on here, you know about that. Somebody will post it. You can watch it. A lot of people watch it later in the day because they don't want to watch me. My assistant, Kim Smith, said the other day she was watching it. She's, I listen to him all the time. I'm going to shut this off. But she really didn't. But she hears me talk all the time. LetTheBibleSpeak.faith Theron does a great job of uploading all these talks. He also makes CDs and sends those out. If you want a CD, he and Priscilla make CDs and send those out to people, and there are people that actually listen to them, which again, anyway,
as far south as Florida.
It's been a great opportunity for me to be on here and teach. We've had a lot of really good people on here, some really really good Bible minds have been sitting on this table with me, and it's very humbling. But anyway, love everybody. Thank you for being on with us today. Again, I just beg you pick up your Bibles and let them speak to you. It's the most important thing you can do. All right, Farron.
So one last programming note that I'll do very briefly. So we make CDs. The video can be watched on Facebook Live. What would help us is for folks on Facebook Live, comment and let us know, would you be interested in, you ready for this? DVDs.
Oh, another advancement.
Because I know how to make them. And okay. I should be able to take the video that we have on Facebook Live and actually press it. DVD from that.
Now, why Priscilla's would anybody back. Want that?
Yay, Priscilla! Yay, Priscilla's
a DVD
back.
Of this?
Yeah, because it's, well, Cordell will want it because he'll want to go,
don't do that.
Cordell's probably like jumping out of his chair right now.
He's good.